So we'll go to the next session. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Brajmohan Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 13th chapter and 14th verse onwards. And I would like to hand over this call to Tiffany Mataji for giving brief introduction to Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over the call. Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Padma Mataji. Hare Krishna to you. Please accept my humble obeisances. And to all devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Grace Brajmohan Prabhuji is a monk, a life coach, and an inspirational speaker. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and is a resident monk at ISKCON Chaupati in India. He is a student's mentor at the Indian Institute of Technology in Bombay, where he also earned a BTech degree. Prabhuji has a Master of Science degree in quantum physics from the University of Illinois in Chicago. Brajmohan Prabhuji has given seminars on science, spirituality, leadership, relationships, and self-development. He has been speaking on various topics at prestigious universities and at several corporations in the US and in India for over a decade. Using ancient wisdom for current dilemmas, his message inspires the audience to think deep, act right, and live full. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Brajmohan Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for joining the call, Prabhuji, for enlightening us this morning and sparing your valuable time for enlightening us in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 13th chapter, and 14th verse onwards, Prabhu. I would like to hand over this call to you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, the conversation, further conversation between Maharaj Rahugun and King Jadabharat, text number 14. Tamstan vipannan sahitatra vihaya jatam parigriya sartha avartate dhyapina kaschidatra viradvana param upaiti yogam. Tantan, all of them, vipannan, embarrassed in various ways, saha, the living being, he certainly, tatra tatra, here and there, vihaya, giving up, jatam, those who are newly born, parigriya, taking, sa artha, the living being, searching for his own interest, avartate, wanders in this forest, adya api, even until now, na kat not, kaschit, any of them, atra, here in this forest, veera, o hero, advanaha, of the path of material life, param, the ultimate end, upaiti, gets, yogam, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki jai. My dear King, on the forest path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and mother, and after their death he becomes attached to his newly born child. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death. Purport. In this material world, family life is an institution of sex. Yan maitunadi grahamedi sukam hitucham. Bhagavatam 7.9.45. Through sex, the father and mother beget children, and the children get married and go down the same path of sexual life. After the death of the father and mother, the children get married and beget their own children. Thus, generation after generation, these things go on in the same way without anyone's attaining liberation from the embarrassment of material life. No one accepts the spiritual process of knowledge and renunciation, which end in bhakti yoga. Actually, life is meant for jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Through these, one can attain the platform of devotion service. Unfortunately, people in this age avoid the association of liberated people, sadhu sangha, and continue in their stereotyped way of family life. Thus, they are embarrassed by the exchange of money and sex. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidana Yo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, it's my great pleasure and fortune to be amidst the devotees discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Find myself having no qualification to speak on this purest of the literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam, that which doesn't have any contamination. So, on the request of the devotees, just we'll try to share some reflections on this verse from the fifth canto. Let's read the verse and translation once again. Tamstan vipannan sahitatra tatra vihaya jatam parigriya sartha avartate dyapi nakaschidatra viradhvana param upaiti yogam. My dear king, on the forest path of material life, first, a person is bereft of his father and mother, and after their death, he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death. Hare Krishna. So this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam and this series of verses explaining the hidden side or the real side of material reality, material life, is quite alarming and unpleasant to hear about for those who are, for all of us who are very attached to, you know, material life. And here in Jadabharat, he is even in a very strong words giving the explanation by comparing this world to a forest. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that Lord Krishna compares this material world to a banyan tree. Obviously, there are a lot of banyan trees in the forest. Urdhvamula madashakam ashwatha. He uses this name for the tree of the ashwatha tree, the banyan tree, as the one which is upside down, where the roots are up and the branches are down. And this material tree, which is a reflection of the real tree, which is in the spiritual world, Prabhupada explains, it reflects on the water of our desires. So if our desire is impure, then we are in the material aspect, material side, we are thrown into the material pool. And if our desire is pure, spiritual, then we are situated in the spiritual existence, atmosphere. And even in this particular verse, Maharaj Jadabharat, he says that this tree, this forest and this existence goes on with upait, that even until now, nahi kashchit adra param, the ultimate end, and he doesn't know how to, even up to the moment of death. And it's continuously keeps on going from one birth to another birth in the hope that some birth or other he will achieve happiness, he will achieve the fulfillment of his desires. There in the 15th chapter of the Gita, when Krishna explains about material reality, especially when he compares to the banyan tree, Krishna says that it is an imperishable banyan tree, and Ashwatha is one of the longest, the banyan trees are one of the longest staying trees. And in fact, why they are called as imperishable is, many times you might have seen the banyan trees have these branches that are coming down all over the space, that this use, and people use this as swings. If you go to any old villages, you will see this kind of banyan trees there. I'm sure many of you have seen this, especially in India. So these offshoots, these roots that are coming from different branches towards down, they are all attempting to come down, and sometimes they also go into the ground, and then they go deeper and they start to expand in that. And the reason is explained, why Krishna compares to this banyan tree, is that in material life there is some because of some branch of activity, something that we do, a desire pops up, a desire arises, and the more we feed the desire, more the desire starts to go into the ground, and becomes the root of our existence. And that's the way banyan trees live for a long time, is that these offshoots, these branches that come down, they slowly become the main stem of the tree, main trunk of the tree, and the older trunk starts to vanish, starts to become decapitated, and very soon the center of that banyan tree is no more that original trunk that was there, but this particular shoot that came down, and this becomes now the main trunk, and it starts to grow. And after its time is over, then it again expands, it again starts to send another offshoot, another shoot down the ground, and then that takes the root, that takes that goes into the ground, and this then the second trunk that was formed out of this again becomes vanishes, and that becomes the third trunk now of the same tree. So in this way, that banyan tree that originated never ends its existence, and in fact sometimes banyan trees are also called as moving trees, because apparently if you come after 100 years, the position of the tree, or maybe 200 years, the position of the tree might have the trunk of the trunk's position will move from point A to point B because the trunk changed. And so this way the banyan tree is imperishable because its existence keeps continuing. One desire that is each of these branches, which are the desires, they take root and they become the cause of a new body. And previously the other body was the identification or the center of the existence. Now the new body, previously you might have been some animal body, now because of some desire that originated there which took root, now you have this particular body, and based on where you grow your desires, and again, and they will take root and they become your tree, your trunk, your body in the next life. So in this way, the existence of the banyan tree keeps continuing, and Prabhupada herein mentions the same thing, that the family lineage keeps continuing from one generation to another by product, by children. Our parents were the children of their grandparents, and that same blood is that same genes is flowing in them, and then they produce us, and then we create more children. And in this way, just like the banyan tree keeps its existence going from, although it may stop to exist, its identity continues in terms of the family tradition. And is the purpose of life just to continue the family tradition, just to continue the family lineage that is there? Yesterday, till last 15 days, there was the Pitru Paksha, where we all done either some prayers or offered Shraddha, offered Pinda, or called devotees to feed Prasad, to show our gratitude to our ancestors and to send blessings and wishes for their welfare. And yes, we are grateful for them that because of their endeavor, their struggle to be alive, and their struggle to keep the family going is the reason why we are here today. And so therefore we offer gratitude. But also we should understand that there is a second aspect to the family to the family lineage, is that we have to go back to our original family, which is in Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha Loka, and where the father and mother are Lakshmi and Narayan, Radha and Krishna, and we have to reunite with that family. And the whole purpose of family lineage is somehow or other to inspire generations to take to dharma, to take to the process of devotional service. And that's what here it is being said, that advanaha, the path of material life, the ultimate end, param, the ultimate end is to upayati yogam, is to come closer to the process of devotional service. And if that doesn't happen, then you are going around the whole circle without any purpose, as they say, beating around the bush. Gaurangpur tells this nice story that there was once on the roadside, there were two workers that were digging the ground. One was digging the ground and another was filling the hole that was made by this first worker. And one man became curious and he went and asked that, why are you digging the ground? One is digging the ground, one is making a hole, and another is refilling the hole. You are just wasting your time. Why are you doing what you are doing? And then these workers very diligently said, sir, we are very loyal to our work and we are continuing to do our work, although the middle man, the middle worker didn't come today. And the middle worker was the one who was supposed to put a seed when I dig the ground. And once the seed is put, the third worker is supposed to refill the soil and put some water. And because the second worker didn't come, we are continuing on duty very diligently. But that defeats the purpose. No point in digging and again filling. No point in taking birth and again dying. If there is no improvement, if there is no evolution in our consciousness. So therefore, revolving in the cycle of birth and death without evolving in our consciousness, or without helping others to evolve in their consciousness, is going nowhere. Prabhupada used to say that grahamedi, usually grahamedi is one whose center of life is his home, is his desires, and he is going around just like a bull that goes around in this ghanis where the oil is made in the traditional way. The bull is tied to a rope and it is made to walk in a circle. And as the bull is walking around that center, in the middle they either put coconuts or sesame seeds, and that grinding brings the oil out, brings that essence out of this groundnuts or sesame seeds. And that way, the walking of the bulls, although they are not going anywhere, it brings some purpose. But the bull, its psychology, as it is explained, is that the bull is thinking that I am walking a lot. It is not, yes, it's walking a lot, but it is not traveling much distance. It is just at the same place. And more so, if in the center, if there is no groundnuts, if there is nothing that is being churned, essence is being removed, then all that walking of the bull, apart from the health of the bull, is a waste of time. Kshama, as Bhagavatam says, Shrama eva hi kevalam. So same way, our producing of children and their producing of the children, if it's not serving a purpose of growing in the consciousness, and more than growing in the consciousness, it is people are degrading more and more into materialistic life, then it defeats the purpose, that it doesn't upayati yogam, it doesn't bring someone to closer to Krishna consciousness. And herein, that's what is being explained, that a person is initially very much attached to his parents, father and mother. And it's not being condemned here, it is being explained here that and he is very very much attached to his parents. But once his parents leave their body, or once a new child is born, then that affection that they had for the parents now shifts to the children. And till then their shelter was the parents, and now their shelter becomes the children, and they take pleasure in children. They previously the pleasure was taken in say mothers eat food, cook food. Now the pleasure may be taken in all the naughty activities, or the education, or the play, or the smile, taking care of the children. Both are not something that are bad, but when you lose the whole purpose of why you are doing what we are doing, we are taking care of that soul that has come into this world, as Srila Prabhupada explains, the way his father was taking care of him. Whenever there was a need to chastise, he used to say that it is my duty to train you properly, so therefore I am correcting you this way, and then he used to do it, because it is a duty of the parents to make their children capable and more responsible to take to Krishna consciousness, and that's what was Bhakti Srila Prabhupada's father used to do with Prabhupada. And but if that aspect is missing, and we are just following the herd, that and now even that is going lesser and lesser. That I heard in West. Children have to pay rent to their parents after a particular age. If they still want to stay in the homes, then they have to pay rent. So pay rent to the parents. And so where will be there be the whole gratitude or something that they have done? Or where is the aspect of love, that this is whom I'm given responsibility and I need to take care? And it's also an observed fact that often the parents are more attached to the children than the children are attached to the parents. We can see for all of us that we have our parents and we may have our children, and our attachment, our affection for our children is more than our affection for our parents, because we gave birth to these children. So we have gone through a lot of hardship to give them birth, to raise them. So there is that affection. But because we were at the receiving end with the parents, we may have some theoretical understanding, yes, my parents did this for me, did that for me. But with children with whom we have raised, we have realistically gone through so much suffering, so much sacrifice. So there is more attachment. It is not just parents or children, even as a brahmachari or somebody who is in ISKCON, a project that you start, a project that you begin. Because you have to, for doing any project, anything, there is so much hardship, there is so much struggle. Even like this, this Bhakti Sangha Japa group, it's not has been an easy affair to continue to do this year after year, day after day, by Shyamagauri Mataji, by who else that I know. Yeah, Vinita Mataji and Induleka Mataji, Padma Mataji, Tiffany Mataji. So we are more attached to the projects that we have started, because we know how much it is, and we may already been beneficiaries of something that has been done by our guru. Say our guru might have built a temple, or Prabhupada started this ISKCON, and the Prabhupada's god brother, Prabhupada's disciples, they worked so hard to make all this, possible, and we won't have that much gratitude and affection, as much we'll be, you know, attached or concerned with the projects that we start. So therefore, beneficiaries, either in family life, being children, they'll have lesser gratitude than one who is doing the sacrifice, one who is doing. And more often, when you actually do some, when you actually become a parent, then your gratitude for your parents starts to increase, because now you start to know what did it mean to raise a kid, to raise a project. So same way, when you start to do something for your spiritual master, do something, I have been given this by my guru, by my counselors, by my seniors, let me do something. And when you start to do, when you start to preach, when you start to do any service, then you start to see how much struggle is there in this entire endeavor, and you'll start to become grateful to those that gave you all this. When you go for a hostel program, like for personally for me, for years Gauram used to come and do a hostel program. But only when I started to go and do hostel programs, I realized all the challenges that he might have gone through. So my gratitude naturally now is becomes more realistic when you try to do an act of gratitude. So therefore, even continuing of the family lineage is a great responsibility, that they struggled a lot, and now let me pass on the legacy, pass on the lessons that I have learned from them, and give to the next generation. And as Prabhupada and as the verse is saying, naturally they will be more attached to the newly born children than the parents, which I already explained. And so, and if in that attachment, if you don't pass on the values, if you don't ensure that their spiritual progress is happening, they are coming closer to Krishna, then all this effort, all this building of one temple and going and making one more project is like agriculture. You raise a crop, and then the crop has seeds, and those seeds are sown in some other places, and again there is a crop, again those are cut. So it's like, so same way, family life can be like agriculture, where one generation gives birth to another generation and they die, and that generation gives rise to another generation, but without any proper evolution or growth in the consciousness, then that entire endeavor becomes very futile. And here in Maharaj, say Jadabharat, he is saying that avartate adyapi na kashchidatra, that even till the end, the person doesn't realize that he is being entangled in this cycle of just trying to please those his subordinates, please those who are dependent on him. The famous story of Kailash, which Prabhupada tells, that he kept on postponing his spiritual life because something or other in material life demands urgency, and we keep continuing to cater to them and keep postponing. And this happens even in our japa, that some issue or other pops up and it starts to take away the time, the attention that we need to put. And therefore it's one thing to be away from this entire game of institution, Prabhupada explains here. In the material world, family life is an institution of sex. And so sex is the way by which the lineage continues. And if we get attached to that aspect of sex, yen maitunadi grahamedi sukham hituchyam, then that the pleasure is put by God, by Krishna, in the act of sex, so that, you know, there is the temporary realization of the absolute. And one particular scholar, he was saying this, that the moment our desire is fulfilled, or the moment the pleasure is experienced, at that moment we are totally null of desires. There is no desire that is very much actively in our consciousness, because we are focusing on one particular desire to enjoy. And when that desire is fulfilled, it is not so much in the fulfillment of the desire, but it is in that experience of zero material desires that makes the soul experience spiritual reality. And even with sex, that is the thing, that there is that temporary moment of complete blankness of material desires when that act is happening, and there some kind of bliss is experienced. But if you try to get that by doing that more and more, it becomes frustrating, it becomes agonizing, because it is, the other person is not a toy. The other person also has feelings, and none of us want to be treated as products, as something to be used or abused. So there is, so you have to take care of the other person's emotional needs, physical needs, and so many other aspects. And once I was at a program, and one lady, she was saying that, no, maintaining the house is not an easy, and family itself is an institution. Now we may be running away from, no, INSCON is an institution, but family setup is itself an institution, where there are the sex or how we live together as rules set it up. And the rules are there so that there is harmony. And if there is no rule that, yes, this is the time we'll sleep, this is the time the wife cooks, this is the way the husband works, if there are no particular norms, then no, there can't be any certainty of what will happen when. So there are rules that are set up. Okay, this is the time cleaning should happen, this is the time this cooking should happen, this is the time this should happen, and all these rules are there, so that as a community, as a group, as a two people, three people that are there in the family, they can all expect some kind of sanity. Like even in the temple, where I know at 6 o'clock when I go into the kitchen, there will be prasadam available. Now if the cook, one who is cooking, he is whimsical, he thinks, when I feel like I'll cook, then I don't know when I'll get the prasadam, and then I'll try to make my own arrangements. And in this way, each one will waste their time in making their own arrangements, and so much time that can be devoted to preaching or other things is wasted. So therefore, each one is given a particular assignment of service. The wife is given, okay, you take up this task. The husband is given some task. The grandfather is given some other task. So in this way, the whole family life, which is like an institution, but an institution where it is not just about rules, but there is also mutual concern, there is also mutual affection. So there is the abiding to the rules, but also there is concern for each other. And when these both are together, then that institution of sex goes beyond the sexual platform, and they start to focus on higher things. So same way with in an institution like ISKCON, if there is rules that are followed, discipline, and along with discipline there is devotion, there is affection for each other, there is concern for each other, then we are not just concerned now, okay, how can I be famous in ISKCON, or how can I become a GVC in ISKCON or different things. We start to think about how can I now serve the institution, serve the society using what I have. But the trap is that the pleasure of sex that is experienced, and this is Krishna says in the Gita, yahi sansparshaja bhoga, the touch, as they say, the touching of the body. We may touch our own body wrongly, or we may touch someone else's body wrongly, or in a way that agitates some particular desire, some particular ways, and even for our own body, touching the body wrongly is something that is to be avoided, because your own body is also not your property. It is Krishna's gift, and you are supposed to use it properly. And if you have that particular regulation with your own body, that we don't touch or misuse the body in either in terms of eating or in terms of sleeping or in any aspect. And then when it comes to touching the other partner, also there is that respect, there is that understanding that yes, there is there is a particular purpose in which I need to do. And this way we start to use the sexual aspect which is there in the proper way, when there is that respect, when there is that understanding. Otherwise we get entangled, as it is told here by Prabhupada, and instead of developing knowledge and renunciation, which ultimately ends in bhakti, in devotion, we become entangled, and the whole purpose just becomes to raise children, get attached to them, and they raise children and they get attached to them, and they raise children and they get attached to them, and the backward people, the parents, the grandparents, they are crying that my child, my son or my daughter is no more looking after me, they are not caring for me. So our dependency becomes, rather than responsibility, we start to become dependent on that aspect, that yes, I have given them that this chance, this opportunity, and as much as it is my responsibility, let me take, but let me not depend on this, and understand that it is to cultivate Krishna consciousness which is the real need. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions from devotees or any comments, viewpoints that others would like to add.
Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for very good examples, and especially parents and kids, and how we attach to them, and how we think as proprietary and not so much. And there's so many examples, Prabhu, about the banyan tree and the roots. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your association and giving this enlightening us on the topic. Devotees, please raise your hands and unmute yourself if you have any realizations and questions that you wanted to ask Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Please go ahead, Srinivas Prabhu, with your question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Dandavat Pranam. Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Prabhuji, I just have one question, like how to develop a proper service attitude, Prabhuji?
Service attitude comes from proper understanding of the Siddhanta. That when we understand the philosophy properly, that none of my capabilities can get me to Krishna. If you don't have the proper understanding about what is the game you are in. So once I think one of the devotees was explaining, when you appear for an exam, you know what are the important topics that are to be covered, and you know prepare well. And when you are appearing for Krishna, when you are wanting to improve your consciousness and develop love of Krishna, Krishna is not going to award us just because we are highly learned, just because we are highly skillful. Krishna is going to award us sevon mukehi jivado swayam eva spuratyata. When he sees that a devotee is properly oriented in service, in the mood of service, then Krishna gives that understanding. So therefore, because we are looking for realization of spiritual subject matters, that realization won't happen just by our own capabilities. So therefore, we need to serve those Vaishnavas, those devotees that have these realizations that are superior to us. And when we serve them, then by their mercy and blessings, we also get those spark of those realizations. So understanding this, we don't become proud of that I am a naham viprocha narapatir napi vaisho na shudro. As Mahaprabhu says, it is not me being a brahmana or a kshatriya or a vaishya. I was just told in the some photos had come up about Janani Vaspu and Pankajangri Prabhu. Because they look very similar, no, we can't usually make out who is who. So in the olden days, I think in 1980s, the leader of the Mayapur community, he was also so confused who is Janani Vas Prabhu, who is Pankajangri Prabhu. So he made a rule that one of them will wear saffron and another will wear white. And so that rule was put, and they followed that rule. And one day somebody, the leader came and was talking to this one who was dressed in saffron. Hey, you are Janani Vas, right? Last time I interacted with you, you are Janani Vas. Immediately this devotee said, no, no, I am Pankajangri Das. Janani Vas Prabhu is in white and I am in saffron. But last time I met you both, Janani Vas Prabhu was in saffron, you were in white. So the Pankajangri Prabhu said that we were only told that one of us should wear white, one of us should wear saffron. So we didn't make any hard and fast rule who will wear saffron, who will wear white. Every day morning when we go to pick our clothes after they are washed and put, so whichever cloth comes on the top, we just take that and we wear. And so they were not attached to which color of the cloth also. They were so absorbed in service that to serve Radha Madhav, to serve Narasimhadev is the mood. And so when we hear these kind of stories, that how much is service important rather than our designation, our different aspects, and all this don't matter, Krishna only looks at the Bhavagrahi Janardana, then we also don't give much importance to all this. Although as a society, as an institution, all this have an hierarchy and we follow that. So knowing that Krishna doesn't value all this, only thing that he values is a humble heart, which is not proud or attached to some identities, and only identity that I have is dasa dasa dasanu dasa. So then it is easier for us to know the Siddhanta properly and understand I am a very infinitesimal part, small little particle of Krishna. Why should I become proud? And let me be in that proper mode of service, and which is a understanding, but the realization will only come when we get the blessings of Vaishnavas. Okay, Prabhu?
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful answer. Thank you. Thanks. Hare Krishna.
any other devotees have any questions or realizations, Prabhuji, that you would like to share?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
My humble obeisances to you, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very beautiful class. Very practical points you said. In fact, I was certainly relating myself with some of the points. Because when you are not in bhakti, you are in complete ignorance. And thanks to these shastras and Prabhupada's purports and books, you are coming out of the ignorance. Very beautiful class it was, Prabhu. Very, very practical points. Certainly after you read the Shastras, your enjoying mentality is turning to service mentality. First, what I was trying to enjoy, now I'm trying to serve more of my family, whoever it will be, my wife, my kids, my parents. It's beautiful. It's beautiful in that way. Prabhu, one small question. I have two boys and sometime I say them, do not marry when you grow. They are just 8 and 12. So I laugh with them. I tell them, do not marry, you know. Krishna says, Dukhalyam Ashashvatam. Even though we have so much in these countries like Canada and US, you know, you have house, big house and whatnot. You have some securities, but certainly it's all temporary. We all know that after reading the Shastras. Is that okay, Prabhu, to say? My wife certainly kicks me with, elbows me, you know. My wife says, what are you saying? I'm like, you know, what they will do? They'll be like, and today Purport was like completely, you know, one family and then another generation. And this is going to happen, Prabhu. And this is Dukhalyam. We are trying to enjoy it, but it is Dukhalyam. We realize that after reading the Shastras. What is your saying there, Prabhu? Is it okay for me as a dad to say, hey, just do service, do some kind of service to humanity, but do not marry?
There is the role of celibacy and brahmacharya training that is needed for every child. And as Prabhupada says, that the boy should be trained in celibacy and the girl should be trained in chastity. And both are in one sense same. Celibacy in the sense that you are not wanting to fulfill your desires. You are thinking about your guru and what will please my guru. And with my current capacities, how can I please my guru? So the training should be given in that kind of thinking. That if the guru asks me to, you know, raise a family, I will raise the family in his service, as a service, what the specific service that he says. But currently the aspect of, you know, wanting to fulfill my desires, and if my desires are not fulfilled, becoming angry, becoming violent, to not go in that direction is the main training that is given as a brahmachari. And the whole training is in training in sensitivity. When we become conscious of our desires, we become insensitive to others' desires, others' lives. Because you want to please your desires so much that you don't even concern about how the other person is feeling. And that's what happens with Duryodhana, that he is so conscious of his, that he wants to get kingdom. He is saying that, Mother Diya Tekto Jivita, for my sake others are willing to be killed, and he is thinking it as a glory, not being sensitive, and which is what is lack of training. And the brahmachari training of Arjuna is seen by how he is sensitive. He is thinking about others, and this quality of sensitivity is needed if, whether you get married or you remain a lifelong celibate brahmachari, because in both roles you have to think less of yourself and think more about others. Therefore, Prabhupada always said that boys had to be trained in celibacy so that they become more sensitive to others, and such a person becomes a very good grihastha because he is not concerned to fulfill his desires, he is concerned how can I best serve the family. And with the girl, chastity is needed because the meaning of chastity is to be satisfied with what is being given, not demanding or not looking elsewhere. So when the girls are trained in that aspect, then they won't put artificial unnecessary pressure on the husbands to work more and more, to get more and more, which becomes one of the causes for lot of hard struggles for husbands, because there's so many list of demands which don't get fulfilled.
Agree.
So these two trainings are needed. Then later, whatever the role they take, they'll be happy. They'll be best contributors to society. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice answer. Wonderful. Hare Krishna.
There are some comments in the chat box, Prabhuji. Indulekha Mappaji saying, thank you very much for a wonderful class, Prabhu, and on this difficult topic. And Niharika Mappaji also was so grateful for the class. Thank you. She's sharing her luck with this thing. Vishnupriya Mappaji also for the wonderful association in the class. Any other devotees would have any realizations or any questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say it was such a wonderful class. And yes, like Induleka Mataji said, it was a difficult topic. But you gave such very good and practical advice. It really, you even showed me, a few different ways of looking at it. And I really just was really interested and appreciated what you just told Raj Prabhu about the training. That's really beautiful. And even that just opens a window for all of us on how to look at things. So thank you so very much. I really appreciate your class.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
All just learnings that I shared, what I learned from other devotees.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class. I like the example of banyan tree, because the desire, material desires, they keep on coming one after another. Like banyan tree grows from top, like roots, they grow from top and they go in the bottom, in the earth, and the tree never dies. So like that, our material desires, they never die. They come one after another, they keep coming. So, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very, enlightening class and very nice instructions, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your association and time.
Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. Just try to serve all the Vaishnavas. Very grateful for the opportunity.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and very beautiful examples of the service and what is the waste endeavor, that example of digging the soil without putting the seed inside and without any improvement, just keeping on, going next life after life. There is no use. And the service attitude of the service attitude that you have explained, that when you take up the task, when you want to cultivate a new devotee, then you will understand the hard struggle that who had put for us and who made us to be here. Really, Prabhu, that is really touching to a heart. Yes, I can understand how much hard struggle my mentor had put for me to come to this stage. I really understand when I try to preach to new people, if they're not able to take it, how much, you just immediately get agitated. But who brought me here, they would have told me 100 times to do the same thing, but I was not listening. But they still sweetly told me to do again and again, you have to do this, you have to do this. Such a beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Shri Radha Prabhupada. Thank you Prabhuji for very enlightening class, especially when we start preaching to newcomers, it is very challenging Prabhuji. They are not coming sometimes in a class and not, it is like they are not agree and they are just arguing. That time I understand that before 28 years, I also same level arguing with my seniors. So whenever there is so many questions, then they become a sincere Vaishnava. So we have to handle it very patiently. That much I learned, Prabhu. Hari Hari Gauranga, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. We will always be more attached to whom we have preached than who preached to us. Just like parents will always be more attached to children than children are attached to parents. But it is the active duty of the disciple to cultivate that gratitude more to one's guru than to one's disciples, one's those whom we have preached. Otherwise, you know, the train will only go down. The train will not go up.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, if devotees doesn't have any more questions or realizations, then we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening the class today and for your valuable association. We would look forward to your association again and again, Prabhuji. And let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa
Hare Krishna.